All right. As always, we have notes here. Since I don't sing much, I use paper notes to make up for it. I didn't get a PowerPoint made. It was a little... PowerPoint actually adds to the challenge. I like PowerPoint when I can use it. But, Lynn, were you going to bring me a mouse? For some reason, the mouse isn't working in here, so can't do much without that. If you would, turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. We are in a mini-series in the book of John, working verse by verse, probably through the first 18 verses. John chapter 1, and I will read through verse 18, all right? By the way, raise your hand too if you need a pen. We do pens. So, Daniel, why don't you take some, I'm not sure what that is. Keep your hand raised so you get a pen, all right? Daniel, see everybody with their hands raised, Daniel? Okay, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Let's just ask the Lord to help us as we study. Father, we do need your help. Lord, we have minds that are easily distracted, maybe even overstimulated with all the media of the day. We have things on our hearts and minds that would draw us from your Word, as we see even in Luke 8, where the devil distracts people so that they will not believe. I believe that's even possible with believers, so they will not hear. Lord, help us to focus our attention upon your Word today, because we need your Word. We need your truth in our lives to make a difference in the way we think, the way we decide, the way we live. And I pray, Lord, you would just continue to give me grace in my voice and all that. You just help that not to be a distraction from your Word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What I'm going to do here is just type as we go. So when I get started typing, then I'll take the cover off of that. But I basically have the document you're working with up here, okay? So I'll just type in the answers as we go, because I think that really helps the kids. And it also will effectively display my ineptness at typing and spelling. Let's see. So side notes there. Anyway, we're not going to cover in detail or review in detail, other than John declares that Jesus is God. He's eternal God. He's the creator of everything. He's light. He's life. And we've covered that in detail. John the Baptist was sent to declare or be a witness about this light. And that brings us, verse 9 is that was the true light. We spent a Sunday just on that. There's lots of false lights. And then the latter part of verse 9, it says that he's the light that gives light to every man coming into the world. We just scratched the surface of the predestination election issue. All I can say is the Bible seems to lay the responsibility of people to believe, and that should not change the way we declare the gospel to people. Whatever predestination or choosing or election or foreordination is in the Word of God, it does not prevent in any way people being impressed to give their lives to share the gospel to others. So whatever those doctrines mean, it in no way inhibits people from sharing the gospel and encourages them to do so. Okay, so that's all we pretty much said on that. Now, verse 10. When I'm taking verses 10, 11, and 12 together today. You can split them up in different ways, but it's good to take as much as you can in context as you're able to do and as you have time to do. But today we're going to look at three responses that you see, and I'll just pull this sheet up here. Can everyone see that okay? Oh, is that a mouse, Lynn? Okay. Anyone ever seen a mouse that small? I mean a computer mouse. Okay, well, I'm sure it'll work fine, yeah. Lynn, how do I hide the ribbon, you know? Minimize ribbon, there we go. All right. Because that's just extra stuff for us now, other than I need to change the color maybe. Okay, we're going to look at three groups, and you can see your notes here. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. As you look at these three verses, verse 10 is group number one, and we want to look at that. The condition first is, let's see if I can do this, all right. I'm just going to capitalize it, I think, just so it's easier to identify. But his presence, oh, I'm sorry. I should look at my notes. Yeah, that's right, his presence. Oftentimes I preach from memory, so you'll have to forgive me here. But his presence here, okay, his presence. And let me underline that too so you can see it. The condition, his presence, is the Bible says he was in the world. We're talking about this person that's God, eternal God, the person that created everything, the person that's life and light, okay? He was in the world. That's what it says here. He was in the world. So Jesus came to earth. What do we call that? There's a holiday that men have created. I call it that anyway. That we celebrate when Jesus came to earth. Christmas, right? Christmas, okay? That's at least when he arrived. We're talking about his whole life here on earth, though, okay? He was in the world. So the group is this. The group is the world, okay? And I use another term, creation. We sung about that today. Okay? The group is the world. He was in the world, and the Bible says the world knew him not, okay? And then notice here in the verse it says he was in the world, and it identifies Jesus' relationship to the world. It says, and the world was made through him. Okay, so Jesus' relationship to the world at a core level, at a foundational level, is he is their what? Creator, okay? So it's presenting it there. And you would say, well, what does that make for people? Don't people have the right to decide about Jesus as their Savior? Let me just bring you up to speed, and you probably already know this, but everyone in the world owes God their allegiance on the basis of the fact that he's their creator, let alone the fact that he's their savior. He already owns them. He's the one who made them. He's the one who keeps them created, if you will. Okay? Excuse me, I'm going to pull this up while I'm doing this here. Okay, so the condition is the presence. Jesus is on earth. The Bible says earlier in this passage that all things are made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. So Jesus is the creator of absolutely everything. And on that basis alone, people should recognize Jesus for who He is. And He is their, what? Creator, right? He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and yet what was the response? What does the Bible say? The world did not know Him. Okay? By the way, I forgot to put this one in. This one is, His identity is Creator. Okay? At the very least, Jesus should be recognized as the Creator. Now, the result is this. The world did not know Him. Okay? I use the term recognition, and I put the word know in front of it. They did not recognize Him. There was no recognition. They didn't even know who He was. He shows up, and they don't even know who He was. Okay, they don't know the Creator. Now, if you're in tune with your Creator, you should recognize your Creator. They did not know His Creator. By the way, did God announce anything at all about this guy coming, the Creator guy? To anybody? All the way through history, people would have known about the Creator. Okay? Stories have been distorted. They've been the Gilgamesh epic, the different ones like that, they've been distorted. The Babylonian creation account, if you will. But people, it should be an obvious thing that there's a Creator. Okay? Now, I pulled up this. It's a Bible program. It's, excuse me a second here. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you would. And I'm going to pull it up here. See if I can, I don't know if I can make this bigger or not. Anyway, go to Romans chapter 1. And I want to start at verse 18. And I have it up here, but it might be too small to see. I'm not sure how to make this bigger. I haven't had to... Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Let me read it for you. It's up here if it's large enough to see. I'm sure I can make it bigger. I just didn't ever have to do it in this program before. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So the Bible says that God is against all ungodliness and righteousness of men already. And it declares that they suppress what? The truth in unrighteousness. There's an understanding that they know the truth. Do you hear that? They might not know all truth, but there's truth there that they're suppressing in unrighteousness, the Bible says. Verse 19, because, this is key here, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Who is he talking about here? Who's Paul talking about? He's talking about all mankind. Every person should understand what? There's something in there that God has placed in every person already without ever having gone to church, without ever having been to a Sunday school class. And you could go down the list. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, that probably would cover everyone, wouldn't it? Starting at the beginning. Since the creation of the world, so it's everybody from the creation of the world, Adam onward, since the creation of the world, His, God's, invisible attributes are what? Clearly seen. We would say they're evident. They're obvious. I think the Greek word is duh. Not really. But it's like, you know, that's obvious. Okay, they're clearly seen, notice here, being understood by the things that are made. The invisible things are understood by the things that you can see. All right? Even two things here. Not everything, but two things are obvious. His eternal power, the fact that whoever made this is really powerful. Okay? Really, really powerful. And number two, his Godhead. The fact that there's an intelligent deity that supervises and controls everything. There has to be something that put the stars there and that keeps them there without running into each other. There has to be something that it is obvious to mankind that when you see an organized creation, there has to be a creator that designed it, made it, and keeps it running. That is obvious. Or the Greek word is what? Okay, a couple of you. All right. Not really, but duh. Yeah, it's like, ugh. And usually you can pick up anything, whether it's these inexpensive pens. It's like, whoa, I found this. It must have came into existence all by itself. You know, it's got parts to it. It screws together. It's got ink and a spring and all that just happened. Who would say that? It just came together all by itself. Here, who would? You can even take any one part of it. The spring is amazing to me. I don't know how they make these. But this pen won't work without it. Okay? But you look like, that didn't happen. Somebody, it's perfectly symmetrical. You look through it, you can look through it. I'm looking at you, Sarah. You can look through it. It's shaped just right, so it's got just the right spring so you can click the pen on or off, open or shut kind of thing. And no one would say just the spring was created on its own. It came into being on its own. When you look at the universe, what are you thinking? Because every detail from the smallest subatomic particle all the way to the largest space size you can think of, everything is structured. Everything is designed. Everything is there like somebody what? Created it. And you would have to say, duh. Obviously somebody created it. It's, how does it say it there? They're clearly seen. Okay? So the concept, by the way, let's read that last part of that verse there, so that they are without excuse. Do you see that? So who's responsible to God? Everyone that's created by Him since the creation of the world. You get that? Why? Because everything that, what can be known of God just by looking out, it's obvious. It's clearly seen. So that they are without excuse. So they're responsible to God just on that basis. So Jesus came into the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. They didn't know who He is. Okay? There was no recognition. It was just like a total ignoring of the Creator because they didn't even know Him. And it wasn't because they couldn't know Him, because the things that are possible to know through creation are clearly seen. The invisible things are clearly seen. They're knowable by the things that you can see, so that they are without excuse. So that's group number one. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. By the way, if you want to write some words to the side here, the world is the super group. Okay, talking kind of math terms or something. It's the everyone fits into the world group. Okay? So just like we had everybody raise your hand today to join the choir without you knowing you were joining the choir. Everyone's in the world group, okay? It's general. If you want to use the term general, it's the large group of humanity. If you want to write the word humanity on the side somewhere, you can do that, okay? Notice, and I just have a reference here. I don't know why, but John 17 kept coming up in the study. But Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is found in John 17, His real prayer. John 17:25. O righteous Father, the world has not, and the same word here, known you. But I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Okay? So it uses the concept of the world and known in the same sentence here, just like the other. We're not going to extract that any further. But they didn't know God the Father either. Now, group number two, verse 11 says, He came to His own. I can make this bigger. I don't know why I'm not doing that. Is that better? Did your glasses just get clearer? Group number two, He came to His own and His own did not receive Him. The condition here, I call this presentation. It's more than just presence. Jesus was in the world, that's His presence, but guess what? He did more than just show up for the nation Israel. He declared Himself. Okay, He presented Himself formally. How? One time, one specific place, but He preached for, 3 years, give or take, 3.5 years. But He presented Himself in a specific time, in a specific place. When was that? Old Testament prophesied event. Remember, He was riding on the colt of a donkey. Remember that? Hosanna, Hosanna, right? Shortly before they crucified Him, right? He presented Himself as the Messiah. That was the formal presentation as the Messiah. Though all of it, all of His speaking and all of that was presenting Himself. But He presented Himself to the Jews, the chosen people. Okay? So it was a specific presentation. It was more than just His presence, it was His presentation. Now the group is His own. See this right here? His own. So we want to put His own. It's a very key term that has to do with something that belongs to Him. Those are God's chosen people. It's His people, okay? So it's specifically talking about the Jewish nation. Jesus came first to the Jews, right? Paul even went to the Jews first. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, right? Okay? So the His own is a phrase that has to do with they're His specific people. They're His own people. And the Israelites have always been the people of God as a nation. So that's the other word there. The world is His creation. Israel is His nation, okay? All right. They were a nation. Who are the Israelites specifically now? They are descendants of, physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel is Jacob, right? So it's the name that God gave Jacob after they wrestled on the other side of the river, if you recall, and he touched his thigh, and the rest of the forever, the Israelites don't eat that particular thigh of an animal. Okay, Israel, Prince of God, all right? But it's those that are descended specifically from Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the promise passed down through Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. That's the nation Israel. That's God's chosen people. They're the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? Specifically Jacob, okay? There are other descendants of Abraham. There are other descendants of Isaac, okay? Abraham had Ishmael. And he also had several children by Keturah after Sarah died, right? Isaac had Jacob and Esau. So we're not talking about the Edomites, the descendants of Esau. We're talking about Jacob's 12 sons, the descendants of his 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the ones that were the promised people that Moses said there will be a greater person than I that will come. Honor him. All the way from the beginning of time, Abraham has said that through your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed, right? God repeated the promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, all right? specifically that through your seed all the nations of the world would be blessed. You'd have land that would be yours for eternity, seed. You'd have seed, and that was physical seed. You'll have children. See, the number of the stars of the heaven and the sands and the seashore. By the way, that was a blessing to them. Okay, land, seed, and then blessing. You'll be blessed, and people will be blessed through you. Okay, so and they were the ones through whom the Messiah would come. They were the ones through whom the Word of God came. Okay, and they were promised this one that would come from Moses and all the different prophecies in the Old Testament, that you know that someone would come and prepare the way of the Lord and blah blah blah. Well, guess what? He comes. He says, "I'm the one. I'm the one that you know everything lays out fine. You know, I'm a descendant of David, both from my mother and my father. Blah blah blah, all the way through." And what do? Hooray! He's arrived. His identity, by the way, I call it, he's a king and Messiah. They go together because the Messiah would be their king, okay? In the Old Testament, he was the one who would take the throne of his father David. Messiah was the promised one of God. The Greek word for Messiah is what? Christ. So Jesus, Messiah, Jesus Christ, that's the same word. Messiah is the Hebrew term, Englishized. Okay, that's Mashiach or something of the sort. But he presented himself, I'm the one that was promised. Okay, and what did they do? It says he came to his own, the ones that should know him, their family. They're the ones that were expecting him theoretically. They're the ones that were very specifically beyond creation told that all of this would happen and he would show up. Your bulletin has this word in it, rejection. Or rejected, I think, in the bulletin. They rejected him. In fact, I guess crucifixion would be rejection, wouldn't it? If they take you and instead of saying, acknowledging you as the King of Israel, the promised one of God, the eternal God in the flesh, his name shall be Counselor, Father of Eternity, right? He's the Son of God. They crucified him. That's about the ultimate rejection, isn't it? They said, not only do we want to turn our backs on you, we want to kill you and make you go away. He didn't go away, by the way. They killed him. God knew that was going to happen. That was even prophesied at how he would die as a crucifixion, that way back even in Proverbs or Psalm 22, before there ever was such a thing as crucifixion. It was prophesied that Jesus would die a crucifixion death. But the result was that they did not receive him. Okay? That's group number two. Now, group number three, this is a verse that's quoted many, many times. Usually all by itself, which means it's not in a context. We just gave you part of the context, okay? The condition here, I'm just going to copy this because it's implied that it's the same thing. He's still presented, so it's presentation. And the group. For some reason, I cannot find my notes. But here it is. Receivers. I was making sure I had it right here. Receivers. The ones who received him. And understand this. This is big. The world is everybody, right? The nation, that's all of creation as far as humanity is concerned. Then there's the nation of Israel, which are the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Neither of those works. Okay? The world did not know him. Israel rejected him. This is individuals. The word very specifically means individuals. And that makes sense for what we know about the truth. You come to God as an individual. Okay, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Letter A here, individuals, it's personal action. It's an individual matter. When we talk about receiving the Lord, you don't receive the Lord because you're part of the human race. It doesn't work for that. And you don't receive the Lord because you're part of a particular group physically. You know, I'm of the Heinz 57 descendancy. Yeah, I'm some of everything almost. I don't know if that makes me spicy or just bland, but our name is French, though. Subra is French. And but that doesn't get me anywhere. Okay? Even in genealogy. No one's researching French genealogy. Okay? It's not that big of a deal. Okay? But if you're a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it doesn't get you anywhere either. It doesn't get you any closer to God. It's an individual matter. It isn't what your parents were, what you're associated with, whether it's the human race or a church, okay? It's individuals. By the way, too, it says, as many as received Him. As many as received Him. To them, He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. Okay? It's a universal offer. Yes, you're part of the world. You may or may not be part of the nation Israel. This opens up the door to any individual that will receive Him. Israel did not receive Him. You can. Okay? We'll talk probably a little more about that in just a minute. The next one here, I added one line that wasn't in the other points, is the gift. He gives us the authority to become children of God. Authority to become children of God. I think older translations use the word power. There's different kinds of power. Dunamis in the Bible is strength. And you can see, you know, they didn't have dynamite back then, but we get the word dynamite from it now, okay? The strength, and it's used quite a bit in the Bible. This is exousia, which means really nothing, except that it means authority in the sense that you're in charge of something, okay? We're going to actually talk about authority in our second hour today. But authority to become children of God, okay? God gives you the privilege, if you will, the ticket to get in. Okay, you become children of God. By the way, this is the same word that in verse 10 says that all things came through Him. Okay, all things were made through Him. They became, it's the word made, to be made children of God. Okay, so the authority to be made children of God. It's still a creation of God. It's not you doing something. It's God doing something. But He gives you the privilege to be able to become that. Okay? Now let's go to the second side of your sheet here. One thing that it's easy to point out here is we're not children of God before receiving Jesus Christ. You have to receive Jesus Christ in order to become a child of God. That's clear. It's offered to everyone, but it only works for those that receive Jesus. The gospel is for everyone, but it only works for those who receive Him. Okay? The next one. Those who... this was a comment in a commentary in a nutshell, but there's few that do this. You know, how does it say the... Narrow is the way. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that what? Find it. You know, it doesn't... Even in at least in our experience, doesn't appear that lots of people flocked to Jesus. Even when He was on earth, very few really truly followed Him. Okay, these are people that go against the world current, that they don't care and they don't want to know the Creator. Okay, and this goes against the religious world Israel who doesn't want the Creator that they know. Doesn't want the Messiah, the Jesus that they know. So you're in a small elite group in that way. And by the way, the result is a change in status. You receive Jesus, you become a child of God. It changes your status. Does it make a difference who your parents are in this world? If you were, how many here are girls under the age of 18? Let's I don't know how old they are, but would you, your life be different if you were the two daughters of Barack Obama right now? They might be the same age you are. Does it make a difference who your parents are? Yeah, they have to be careful where they go, who they see, and they have privileges that you have not dreamed of in some ways. Have you ever been in Air Force One? They have. Okay, they've been all over the world. Okay, how about anyone here married? Okay, good, okay. Does it make a difference who your parents are even in marriage? There was something in the news the other day. I can't remember what it was. Prince William something. It was all that was in the news, wasn't it? And Kate, I don't remember, Middleton. They got married. I don't recall my wedding being on the front page news for like a year. And I didn't watch the wedding. Sorry. Okay, I wouldn't, you'd have to hold a gun to my head and I probably would take the bullet. I don't know, but the idea is, it makes a difference who your parents are on earth, okay? Your name changes your status. What if you're adopted by the Queen of England? All of a sudden, your status changes, okay? It makes all the difference. If Bill Gates, who I think still has lots of money, what if he said, hey, I want to adopt you? Would your bank account be reflected in that? The way you, what kind of car you drive? It might have new tires instead of the old ones you have, maybe even, or whatever. It makes a difference. Well, God changes your status. You become a child of God, and that changes everything for you. His identity here, it's interesting, but it doesn't really bring it out, but it's Him and His name. Okay, we'll just talk about these briefly. But as many as received Him, to them received Him, to them He gave the power, the authority to become children of God. Okay, even is not in there actually. If you look at it, supplied. The word even isn't in the Greek text either. It's to them who believe on His name. Okay, Jesus' identity. What does it mean to believe in Jesus' name? That's what this is talking about. It's His identity, who He is. When you believe on Jesus, you're not just believing about Jesus. You're believing on who He is. You're believing on what He can do. I usually summarize as who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Okay, I'm going to add one more today. It's not too much, but it's Jesus' ability and authority. Okay, you're acknowledging who Jesus is and what He can do and what He's allowed to do, if you will. And then, by the way, John 17:2 says, as you have given Him authority over all flesh. The Father has given the Son authority over all flesh. And then Jesus' credibility. He will do what He has promised. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which we'll get to just in a minute, you're not just believing that there's a historical Jesus. There's a guy named Jesus somewhere. You're believing that He's the very Son of God. When you believe on His name, you're not just believing in the fact that there's a Jesus. You're believing all that Jesus revealed about Himself. Look at the next, I think I have a quote here. Believing in the name of Jesus is found only in John and 1 John. You don't find that phrasing in any other books of the Bible. It implies acceptance of Jesus to the full extent of His revelation. Who He revealed Himself as being and what He revealed Himself as being able to do and what He's promised. Those three things. Okay? Even to them who believe on His name, the Bible talks about the fact the result. Number five here, so you have it, is reception. They receive him. So the word is reception. Okay? And the other word that they throw in here to clarify it is what? The noun form would be belief. Those that believe him, okay? Oops. All right? What does it mean to receive? Now, this is a side note. It's a soapbox, but it's a very important soapbox. I can show you a track that has 14 verbs in it of what you have to do to be saved. You receive, accept, believe, acknowledge, confess, blah, 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 all the way down, 14 verbs, and it's like in three sentences even. Folks, that's confusion. The Bible says, yes, I think this is the only place. Maybe there is other places, but you're to receive Jesus. But that's not a separate step. Follow me closely here. It goes on. Most people say, you know, you have to accept Jesus, then you have to believe on him, and then you have to confess in him. That's the ABC plan, which I disagree with. And the Bible doesn't teach, I don't believe. But you have to accept him. How do you accept him? Well, John 1:12 says, if as many as received, see, receive means accept, if as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Okay, and then you, letter B, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So wait a second, finish the verse. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. What does it mean to receive? To them who believe on his name. It's telling you what it means to receive Jesus. It's not something different. It's the same thing. It means the exact same thing. Receiving and believing. Believing is how you receive Jesus. Okay, and you've heard me say before, we've gone through a whole series on the nuts and bolts of salvation, but people talk about asking Jesus in your heart. You will not find that in the Bible. Listen, you will not find that in the Bible. You're not saved by asking Jesus into anywhere. You're saved by believing on his what? Name. You have to understand. It's not something magic words you say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Well, let me ask you, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know what he's done? Do you know what he's promised? Because those are essential things to believe on in order to be saved. It's not what comes out of your mouth. It is what you believe that makes a person saved. Even to them who believe on his name. There's not even something to say here, is there? Even to them who believe on his name. And it's clear throughout Scripture, but to him it does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. His belief is accounted for righteousness, Romans 4:5. Okay? You have to have a clear gospel to share the gospel, to understand the gospel, to be able to grow in the gospel. You have to understand that your salvation is through believing on the name of Jesus alone, not 1,000 steps or 3 steps or 2 steps or whatever the case might be. Okay? Belief. I list a couple verses that use the phrase in his name, believe in his name. John 2:23 here. When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name. That's believing who he is, what he claims to be, what he can do. At that time, he hadn't died on the cross yet, but he claimed to be the Son of God. I've done this before. You've seen this, but what do you have to believe to be saved? Let me give you 3 real quick that you can write down below here. It's the same thing. You have to believe that you have a sin problem. Everyone here is a sinner, right? Because the devil made you do it, or you don't know. You know, we're born sinners. Our sinful actions, our inherited guilt, and our negative bent, right? S-I-N. Sin problem, you have to believe in a special person. That's who Jesus is and what he's done, basically. Who Jesus is. And then his substitution, oh, this is nary payment, and resurrection. This is even worse because if you misspell something, you get a red squiggly line on it, okay? But you have to believe in a sin problem, that you need a Savior, that the special person that Jesus is the Son of God. He's who he said he was. And that you believe in what he's done, the substitutionary death. He died in your place and he rose again, the Bible says. Resurrection is part of the gospel. Chapter 3, verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The idea again is they're believing on Jesus as being the Son of God, and he is who he says, and he'll do what he says he'll do. That's faith in Jesus Christ. I took it out. Okay, I'm going to take you to Romans 4 here. And I'll close with this. You've seen this before. It's one of my favorite passages that I discovered as I studied the Bible one time. It's talking about Abraham. Romans chapter 4, starting at verse, it goes all the way back, but the Bible says this. Now let's start at verse 18. It's in the middle of a sentence, but we'll do it. It's talking about Abraham, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations. By the way, God's promise to him and what he had to believe, he believed in who God was and what God would do. Okay? What did God promise him? That he'd be a father of many nations. That was pretty much it. The land, seed, and blessing kind of idea. Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you look in the context, he said, look at the stars. Your descendants will be like that. Abraham believed God as accounted him for righteousness, okay? He said, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. That was the content of the gospel, if you will, that God gave to Abraham for this Genesis 15 context. And not being weak in faith, the faith is a noun form of the word belief, so I use the word belief. And not being weak in belief, he did not consider his own body already dead. God said he was going to have a child, and there was no way he could have a child. He was too old. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, Sarah had gone past the time of childbearing as well. But guess what? He believed who God was and what God said. You get that? Watch this. He did not waver. Notice this. In order to believe God, there has to be a promise of God. And that's what we said here. The credibility of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, believe me and you'll be saved. Do you believe what he says? Okay? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in belief, giving glory to God. Verse 21. This to me is the biblical definition of faith. It says it right here. Being fully convinced, the King James says persuaded, being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he was also able to perform. That's the ability part. You believe the identity, the ability, and the credibility, the promise. And notice, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's a quote right out of Genesis 15:6. My question to you today is, which group are you in? God's going to hold you accountable, and you will answer to him. Everyone here needs to be saved. Okay? We're part of the human race. We're accountable to God. We're owned by him. We'll give an account to him. Everyone here has judgment upon them as a human being. Jesus Christ came to the world. They didn't know him. He came to Israel as their Messiah king. They didn't receive him. In fact, they crucified him. And God said, you know what? As many as received him, to them he gave the authority to be the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. They believe who Jesus is and what he's done, in a nutshell, in if you will, the credibility of his promise. Have you done that today? Have you rested in this person, this Jesus, who claims to be God, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again? Have you rested in that for your salvation? That's the key. Do you believe on his name? Which group are you in? Those that don't care, don't know. Those that don't want. The religious, however that could be. Or those that say, yes, I believe you, Jesus. You are the Son of God. You died on the cross. You took my place on the cross for my sins and rose again. I believe that. Do you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes. Help us to see that there is no way that we can be right with you apart from what you have done by giving your Son Jesus to take our place on the cross, to die for our sins that we deserve to pay for. And Lord, it's amazing but true that as many as received the Lord Jesus, to them He, Jesus, gave the right, the authority to become children of God, even to those who simply believe on who He is and what He's done. I pray, Lord, that each of us here would embrace that and live for the Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.